We're happy to welcome back to the program a great friend of the show. He is a former Maine Sportscaster of the Year. He's the man who took bingo out of the Grange Hall and put it on the basketball court where it belongs, the voice of Maine women's basketball, the great Don Shields. Hello there, Don.
Hey, Rich, how are you today?
I am wonderful, made better by your presence. Always great when you join us.
Yeah, now I had this conversation with a friend of mine the other day because he wanted to, if you remember, right, bingo was kind of, couldn't say bingo in Maine back in the 70s or even earlier because it was considered gambling.
Right.
You had to tie that into a bean supper. That's why we had Beano, right?
Right, and that just would not have the same ring if, you know, somebody hit a three and you're yelling out Beano. No.
No, we wouldn't. I cannot imagine saying Beano. They think I'm nuts now, man. That would really be crazy.
And I know there were a few people out there who got on you for saying bingo and having that level of excitement, but you know what? Where are those guys now?
Well, hey, you know, first off, bingo went back. I started using that in 1987, so it was well before I was considered for UMaine. And, yeah, we had some haters in the first four years. It's amazing how, and you probably have seen the same thing with the football, right? When your team is going well, you're loved. And when your team is going bad, you know, as the broadcaster, you're at fault, I guess.
I guess so, yeah. Well, this you've been doing this a long time, Donna. Of all, we've seen some remarkable coaching efforts with University of Maine teams through the years. But, man, I would put the job that Amy Vachon and her staff have done this season pretty high up on that list when you consider the youth of this team, the expectations for them, which were fairly low, and then that incredibly difficult non-conference schedule.
Yeah, and I'm one of the few people crazy enough to think that they were going to be, I thought they were going to be in conference, in America East. I thought they were going to be good. Now, what did I mean by that? Did I think they were going to win 14 in a row? Heck no, I'm not that delusional. I thought that they would be, with this young team, they would come out of a non-conference, figure things out, as every one of her teams have. Just look at her track record, and every one of her teams plays their best basketball February going into the conference tournament. I thought that that would be what we'd see, that they would be somewhere in the home court top four, host a quarterfinal game, win the quarterfinal game, and then go out on the road for a semifinal game with house money. That's what I figured they would be. And that's me also knowing the league, because I figured, well, you'd have Stony Brook, right? Nobody foresaw Stony Brook leaving the league. I knew Albany was going to be good, and I thought Vermont was going to be good. And I thought the rest of the league, to be honest with you, was going to be kind of garbage because, A, they don't do the things that Maine does. Nobody else in the league does what Maine does, and that is play that tough non-conference. And, you know, all I had to do was look at the non-conference numbers. At one point, they had the 31st toughest schedule in the nation, and the second closest I think was 189, which was Binghamton. So I mean, you know, so they do the right things. They I mean, it's scary to think about, right? I mean, how young this team is, and they lose just Maeve Carroll. They're going to get Anna Heisman back next year. They're, you know, Abby Lawrence hasn't played much since January because of injury, so they'll have three seniors next year, and all these young kids who have got great experience this year, plus two coming in. So I think they're going to be in great shape for a number of years.
Was there one game this season, Don, where you had a feeling that this could turn into something special?
You know, they came back from 19 down at home against Dartmouth at the end of non-conference, and it was kind of like, okay, something clicked there. And then they lost two conference games terribly. I mean, they were terrible against NJIT. I mean, they gave up a lot of fouls and foul shots and rebounds and did not play well at home against UMass Lowell. But it's kind of, I think, coming off that UMass Lowell game, they kind of kicked things into gear, and they've been phenomenal on the road. I mean, undefeated on the road in conference, and just until they'd been a losing record at home, or at 500 at home until Saturday when they got that quarterfinal win. That put them over 500. So I think it's, you know, it's more than the team. You see individual players. You know, at first you saw Alba Royce, and I really thought she took a step forward in the game at Army. Even though they lost that thing in overtime, she scored 21 in that game. And it was like, okay, yes, I'm now the point guard for this team. And then you saw the same thing early on in the season with Caroline Bornman passing up shots that now she's taking. And, you know, she's consistently high single digits, double digits. And then, you know, you see little bits and pieces from other kids. You know, Paula Gallego hasn't scored a whole lot for him, but given that opportunity, she's taken advantage of that. You know, Adriana Smith coming off the bench as a freshman. We're only seeing bits and pieces, but that's a name people should remember. I think she's going to be good for them for the next 3 years.
And what a remarkable season and well-deserved honor is as Player of the Year and Defensive Player of the Year for Ann Simon.
It is amazing when you think about the run of good foreign players they've had. You know, started with the group that came in during the Liz Wood years. I don't know if they had anyone quite as dynamic as Blanca Milan and now Ann Simon, but they had solid players in that group. But, you know, it's almost like Ann was the understudy last year with Blanca and then just decided, okay, I could do this and took off. And she's been phenomenal. And there was a three-game stretch where she had 21 steals in three games. I mean, that's insane when you think about it.
We're talking with Don Shields here on Downtown. Tomorrow night, 5 o'clock, the conference championship game, the right to go to the big dance, the NCAAs. What are a couple of keys against this Albany team?
Well, Albany does a good job rebounding, so you're going to have to control the boards when you know, in both games, Albany could have easily beaten Maine. So, it's, you know, even though Maine won them both, it's not like they dominated in either one. They had a nice comeback at the Pit in the first meeting, and then in the second meeting over there, that was a close, low-scoring game, and Maine pulled away late. A player to watch, I mean, they've got some really good players. Helena Hagerstrand, she hits the three. She's their leading scorer. They have a young lady who comes off the bench, Ellen Hane, who's pretty good. But the one that scares me the most for them, and she had a double-double against Maine, in at the Pit the first time around, and then Maine shut her down at Albany. She did not score, and that's a sophomore named Kayla Cooper. If for some reason Cooper goes off, that's not good for Maine, in my opinion. She's to me, you know, in my opinion, that's the one they've really got to keep a close watch on. They've got another big by the name of DeCortez, but she had to leave that game against Vermont the other night, like 2 minutes in, with a foot injury, and reportedly was in a boot and hobbling quite badly after the game.
The Pit is an interesting place. We talked with Amy last week. She was thrilled. She said the players obviously practice there every day and love it. It's a quirky building, but for a game like this where the place will be jammed packed, is there a pretty good built-in home court advantage to it?
Oh, my God. No question. No question. I mean, this is my 15th year doing the game. I have never heard our fans boo an opposing team when they took the court and they did it to NJIT. And I'm thinking, I mean, they have NJIT has done nothing to Maine, and they got roundly booed as they walked in. I can't imagine what Albany's going to, how they're going to get greeted tomorrow. It is so loud in there. Matter of fact, I took my volume a little, I know it's hard to believe, right? I went a little louder than normal and kind of strained the vocal cords a little bit on the Tuesday night. So, it's so loud and you can't hear. I mean, you're wearing the headphones and you still can't hear. It's been deafening in there, but it's been a great home court advantage. And, you know, I think you're seeing the benefit of playing on campus as opposed to playing at the Cross Center, because the student body has been at those games, and they have been vocal. So it bodes well for when the new building is built, you know, having that home court advantage right there where kids can just leave their dorm and walk over to the game.
Now, Don, based on what we've seen in the past and with that strong non-conference schedule for the Black Bears, if they're able to be successful tomorrow night, where do you think they end up? Maybe a 13-14 seed?
No. they're paying the, they'll pay the price for the league because the league is terrible. So originally, after they first upset over when they went to Stony Brook and beat Stony Brook, and then Stony Brook was basically kicked out of the tournament, which all happened in about a 4-day period. They had Maine in one of those round of 16 games initially. This is the bracketology guy, Charlie Crean, who's from the area, or he was in the area for a while working. And then they've had Maine sitting in a 16 line at going to Louisville like the last 2 weeks. I could see them maybe getting to a 15 if they have Holy Cross in a 15 slot. If Holy Cross loses their conference tournament and Maine wins theirs, I could see them moving up. But it's going to be a 15 or a 16. And in large part, they'll pay the price. You know, even though their schedule is tough and they've done all the things they have, the other members of the American East have not. And, you know, you hope at some point these other schools say, you know what, we need to improve our league. We need to do these things by scheduling up and playing a tougher non-conference and, you know, not playing several D2, D3 schools and taking the weakest sisters we can find trying to get wins, because at the end of the day, it doesn't pay when you get to conference schedules.
Well, Black Bear fans will take wherever the Black Bears end up seated if they go back to the NCAAs. Once again, tomorrow, 5 o'clock, tune in to Don on, of course, the Black Bear Sports Network to hear those bingos ring out. Don, we appreciate it as always. We know you'll have a great call tomorrow night. We'll be listening as soon as we're off the air. Of course, thanks as always for being with us.
Well, no, you're going to turn it on during commercial breaks. I understand.
Look, we know at 5 o'clock ain't nobody listening to us tomorrow.
Have a great weekend, my friend.
Thank you. You too, Don. Don Shields, voice of the Black Bears, with us here on Downtown.